Welcome to another episode of the Left of Lansing podcast with Pat Johnston. A progressive insight into Michigan's political and cultural world. And of course, an entertaining podcast designed to shine a light on how to make Michigan's political machine work for the people. Now, from the Left of Lansing headquarters, located in his attic, here's the award-winning Pat Johnston.
Oh, yeah! Welcome to another edition of Michigan's premier progressive podcast. I am Pat Johnston, who's a bit cold up here in the Left of Lansing attic as the lows are dropping to 11 tonight. 11, ugh. But that's okay because, hey, tis the season, and I'd rather it be cold than me sweating in the mid-August heat and humidity. I don't miss that one bit. Yes, I'm strange that way, but I like it being cold and snowy during the holiday season. That's how I roll, and that's how it, you know, kind of used to be here in Michigan since it really hasn't been that way for the last, 25 years or so? And with Christmas music playing everywhere, I will say that, yes, I like Paul McCartney's Wonderful Christmas Time, and it's a hill that I'm willing to die on. Is it a masterpiece like fellow Beatle John Lennon's Happy Christmas, War's Over song? No, of course it isn't. But Christmas songs are meant to be, I don't know, somewhat hokey and frivolous, and hey, when it comes to that, sometimes Paul always knew how to nail it with that kind of a song. So I don't care what anyone says. It is a fantastic, fantastic Christmas song. No arguments whatsoever. LeftofLansing@gmail.com is my email. Watch the subject of this wonderful Christmas time dominate my inbox this week above anything else that's going on. And hey, why not? Because hey, how's everybody doing since we haven't spoken in the last 2 weeks? Yeah, I know. Not that awesome. I know someone who's not doing all that well or all that swell, and it's many small businesses who rely on holiday customers to keep them afloat. But thanks to the Trump regime's tariff scheme madness, those small businesses across Michigan and the nation are paying a heavy price. The Detroit News' Misha Johnson reported on a number of Metro Detroit small businesses and shops that are hurting due to Deer Leader's stupid tariffs. And Johnson writes the following: according to the American Christmas Tree Association, almost all imported Christmas decor is subject to tariffs of 30% or higher. For some items, like holiday lighting, the tariff can be as high as 63% on top of an existing 33% tariff. Ms. Johnson also says tariffs are typically paid by American companies that imports the goods as they cross the border, and China accounts for roughly 87% of American Christmas decor. The Trump administration, or as I say, the Trump regime, has also added tariffs on many components that make up the building blocks of manufacturing, including a 50% tax on steel, aluminum, and copper. Look, I buy American as much as I can and have supported targeted tariffs to help support American businesses and will always continue to do so. But across the board, tariff insanity is a tax on the consumer as companies are forced to raise prices and then lose business. And of course, once those tariffs are ended or relaxed, will those businesses drop their prices suddenly? I don't know. Doesn't seem worth it, does it, everyone? It just doesn't seem worth it because you might feel like two transgender girls playing high school sports in Michigan is the worst thing in the world now, does it? I don't know. Doesn't really seem like this is all worth it because of that one issue. I mean, maybe it does to some, but to some rational thinking Michiganders and Americans across the country, it doesn't seem like the culture wars are winning for the working class. Earlier this year, many squeamish Michigan Democrats in Lansing held hand in hand with MAGA Republicans and the restaurant lobby as they fought to water down a scheduled minimum wage raise and paid sick leave increase. You have to remember, we were told that this would destroy small businesses. So they had to pass that law, which they did, and Governor Gretchen Whitmer, the Democratic governor, signed it into law. Well, paying workers a decent wage doesn't really sound like a real awful idea now, does it, considering how it would really help them buy all of this Trump tariff stuff? Dear Leader took a break this week from his scheduled naps. I mean, no, let's be honest. Listening to Marco Rubio figuratively fillet you would put any person to sleep. I grant you that. But Dear Leader woke up just in time to tell every working class Michigander not to believe their shrinking pocketbooks and whatever savings they may have that's disappearing, because the issue of affordability is really a Democratic Party hoax.
It's a con job. I think affordability is the greatest con job. They look at you and they say, affordability. They don't say anything else. Everyone says, oh, their prices were so low. No, they had the worst inflation.
You know, many of Dear Leader's dwindling ardent supporters used to always laugh when Joe Biden told Americans that everything was fine economically. And now, here they are, just 1 year later, and they're doing the exact same thing. Oh, and guess who was standing right there in the Oval Office behind her Dear Leader when he called her working class voters stupid for believing they can't make ends meet? That's right, none other than MAGA Republican Congresswoman Lisa McClain, who's using her position of power to help increase her and her husband's stock portfolio with big tech firms. Ah, yes, she's a fighter for the working class indeed. Do her voters in the thumb region of the state like being told they're dumb to believe that their grocery bills are increasing? A recent CBS News YouGov poll revealed that 65% of Americans believe the White House is driving rising food costs, and 58% say prices in general have been rising. Only 32% say the economy is healthy. I'd love to meet those who truly believe the economy is humming right along for everyone. Well, I mean, it is doing a fantastic job for those in the oligarchy, the corporate class, the billionaires, the political insider class, who are getting massive tax breaks while rural hospitals are closing down thanks to the MAGA murder budget signed into law last summer. Meanwhile, the latest ADP jobs figure shows that we lost 32,000 jobs in November. Hey, all right, we're winning, aren't we? I mean, we have to count on a private firm like ADP, since the Trump regime's not allowing its Bureau of Labor Statistics to reveal monthly unemployment rate numbers. How convenient. Dear Leader and his people are telling Americans not to trust the numbers they're seeing in their pocketbooks, not to trust the higher prices that they're seeing at the grocery stores, not to trust their eyes that when they're seeing all of these higher prices for Christmas shopping. No, they're saying don't trust what you're seeing, but instead, do trust the regime. These are the same people who are helping Dear Leader run crypto scams and to, you know, use the government to help with their own personal boondoggle. For example, it's being reported this week in the Daily Beast and in the Financial Times that Dear Leader's son, Don Jr., is using his old man's position to boost his financial standing. TechCrunch reports the following. Vulcan Elements, a rare earth magnet startup backed by Donald Trump Jr.'s VC firm 1789 Capital, has secured a $620 million contract from the U.S. Department of Defense, as reported by the Financial Times. The contract is part of a $1.4 billion partnership with the U.S. government and ReElement Technologies to expand and boost the domestic supply of magnets. So, is Lisa McClain proud of this? And will she be demanding hearings into Don Jr.? Will any Michigan Republican demand hearings? How about any MAGA Michigan Republicans in Lansing? Are they outraged over Dear Leader's tariffs and how they're damaging small businesses in their districts? Are they just as outraged over how the Trump regime is using the government to enrich themselves while telling voters that the economy is just freaking awesome? No, I am certain. I'm certain they love this story by Thomas Frank in Politico this week. And let me share just the very first paragraph. A recent decision by President Donald Trump to deny disaster aid to two electric utilities in rural northern Michigan could cost residents tens of millions of dollars. Now, we've covered how the Trump regime denied to provide disaster aid to many northern Michigan businesses who suffered from that devastating ice storm last spring, in which 12 counties were heavily damaged. We all remember that. And that's an area that Dear Leader won in a landslide. But while he and his family are busy making millions by steering government contracts their way, using government to aid their crypto scams, and the regime is busy making deals with Saudi Arabia and Qatar, the regime certainly doesn't seem to care about working class Michiganders who are still struggling from that ice storm, something they didn't cause. Oh, and the regime, by the way, funneled $40 billion in aid to that corrupt MAGA leader in Argentina, too. So let's not forget that. Now, getting back to northern Michigan, the utilities that power much of that region are nonprofits. And like Thomas Frank and Political Rights, these companies are owned by customers, unlike the for-profit investor-owned utilities that electrify most of the United States. They collectively serve 160,000 households and businesses in this heavily wooded region. 160,000. Now, remember, Governor Whitmer told Dear Leader that canceling or blocking disaster aid in the northern region there would lead to ratepayers facing surcharges and rate hikes equivalent to at least $4,500 per household without that federal aid. The federal aid never came. And I'm puzzled as to why Big Wretch hasn't already done a tour of northern Michigan demanding to know why the Trump regime blocked federal aid for her people while Dear Leader works to redact much of the Epstein files. What is she doing nowadays? She seems more interested in fighting for big tech and DTE and consumers energy and their push to stuff AI data centers throughout the state than really working for the working class. I mean, what happened to that woman from Michigan? No, seriously, this isn't a joke, everyone. And it's not just some progressive looking to make a name for himself by attacking an establishment Democrat like Governor Whitmer, who I went to the mat for years ago on this podcast, even though she would sometimes sign despicable corporate-backed bills into law. Why doesn't she take it to Dear Leader anymore? She doesn't do anything. She doesn't fight for anybody anymore. I mean, what are her freaking principles? What the hell does she stand for? Why isn't she using her bully pulpit to fight for everybody up there in northern Michigan? And you know what, everyone, I'm being honest here. It's because of Whitmer and what she has done here, especially since Dear Leader won last year. It's because of her that I'm heavily invested into making sure we don't have another one like her on the Democratic ticket. And I mean that. She's been a champion of shelling out corporate welfare checks for very little return. And now she's pushing for big tech data centers like the massive one in Saline Township in Washtenaw County. I mean, of course, DTE and Consumers Energy are all excited about it and is so certain that it's going to happen that they both tried to pressure the Energy Regulatory Commission in the state to speed up the process right along, speed that process right along without any public hearings or comments. Because you know why? They don't think you matter at all. It's part of the big corporate game in which big corporate dollars and donors and influence reign supreme in Lansing over the working class. I mean, you remember me just telling you how MAG Republicans and establishment corporate Democrats in Lansing locked arms and watering down that minimum wage hike and for more paid sick leave, right? The game in Lansing is corporate and government cronyism. That has been the game for a long time. One hand washes the other and the revolving door of corruption commences. If you heard my Monday musing this week, I talked about how Karen McDonald, the Democratic Oakland County prosecutor who's running to become Michigan's Democratic Party Attorney General nominee, not only is Karen McDonald amassing huge donor dollars that is dwarfing just about everybody else in the race, but she's getting some cash from lawyers, from DTE, and Consumers Energy. Hey, how about that? We know how much DTE and Consumers Energy love to spend campaign cash on politicians from both sides of the aisle, but it is rare that we see their attorneys register multiple donations in an attorney general primary campaign. Huh. Wonder why. I'm sure they're not looking for anything in return, right? But here's the worst part. Since Michigan Advance's Kyle Davidson released that story this week, Karen McDonald and her campaign had nothing to say when asked for a comment on the story. I mean, she's really hoping nobody's paying attention and that the story will go away and that no one will notice. Now, I have to say this. It makes good business sense considering how the current Democratic Attorney General, Dana Nessel, has been a thorn in the side of DTE and Consumers Energy, who continue to fight to gouge the working class with devastating rate hikes. If there's one strong point to Dana Nessel's tenure here, it's that she always stuck up for ratepayers here in the state. Nessel is also demanding more transparency when it comes to these data centers, by the way, which is more than Big Gretch is doing. Karen McDonald doesn't appear to want to follow in Nessel's footsteps. That's what it appears to me. It appears that Karen McDonald wants to go back to allowing business as usual in Lansing. Well, the people of Michigan could have their say on this matter. signatures are currently being collected to put the Michiganders for Money Out of Politics proposal on the ballot next year. This proposal would help limit corporate greed and corruption in Lansing by banning companies who are doing business in Michigan from making political contributions. Seems like a really a good first step, an essential first step. Bills like this will never pass in the Lansing legislature, never. But we Michiganders might get a say on the matter because the working class is tired of being told to sit on the sidelines while we get gouged. And just think, a law like this will end up saving DTE and Consumers Energy a lot of money so they won't need to ask for rate hikes anymore, right? Melinda Billingsley from Voters Not Politicians, which is part of a huge coalition backing this proposal, will join me here to talk about it here in just a few moments, and she'll also talk about how you can get involved in the effort. You're listening to LOL.
He enjoys watching sporting events from years ago. He can recite most of the 1984 Detroit Tigers lineup. He will go to the mat in saying Michigan has produced some of the greatest music in the past 60 years. But most of all, he enjoys the loyalty of a fine dog while sipping on a tasty Michigan beer. Oh, and he loves talking about politics, if you haven't been able to tell yet. It's the Left of Lansing podcast with Pat Johnston. Need more Pat? Visit and subscribe to leftoflansing.com. Now, back to Pat.
Let me say a quick thank you to Jessica for lending her voice to the podcast, her awesome voice to the podcast, and for doing her good friend a big favor in making the show sound so much better. Thank you for everything, Jessica. And let me thank you, dear listener, for taking time out of your busy day and schedule to listen to this progressive project and progressive podcast. It's because of you that, you know, we're able to help spread the progressive message across the state and elsewhere. And each time you listen and each time you like and subscribe to the show, that doesn't just help extend its reach, but it also helps reach those who believe in ending politics as usual and doing it by promoting progressivism with passion, as we say here on the show. So if you haven't done so already, please subscribe to the show wherever you get your podcasts, and also subscribe to us on YouTube as well. And as always, like and give the show a big 5-star review. Okay, as I said before the break, there's a ballot initiative underway with the goal of banning corporations from giving political contributions if they are doing business with the state of Michigan. This initiative is called Michiganders for Money Out of Politics, or better known as Mop Up Michigan, and it's backed by a significant coalition called Taking Back Our Power. Joining me to talk more about this proposal and why its passage by voters is an essential step to fixing our lobbyist-driven political world in Lansing is Melinda Billingsley, who is the communications manager with Voters Not Politicians. Melinda, I know that you've got a real busy schedule, and I thank you so very much for taking a little time out of your day to talk about this very important issue here on Left of Lansing.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me.
I gave a broad description, as you heard, Melinda, of the Michiganders for Money Out of Politics, or Mop Up Michigan's ballot proposal. But can you tell us more about this proposal and how it would really take this big step in limiting, or at least, you know, I guess you could even say maybe hoping to stop corporate influence in Michigan politics?
Absolutely. So, you know, Michiganders for Money Out of Politics, which we call Mop Up Michigan, or MMOP for short, because it's a bit of a mouthful. But what it really does is takes a big swing at the biggest corporate contributors to state politics. So what we're going to do is we look at some of the biggest contributors to state politics are actually people who are paid by taxpayers, basically. So regulated utility monopolies and big state contractors tend to be on the list of like the top 10 largest donors to our state legislators. So state reps, state senators, the governor, attorney general, those office holders. And while they are on the one hand making these big campaign donations, on the other hand, they are also in Lansing lobbying for preferential treatment or the policies that they would prefer. And also they're sort of subverting the regulatory process because the politicians who are supposed to be regulating them rely on them for their campaign contributions, right? So as an example, you have DTE, which gives to almost every single state lawmaker. I believe there's about 138 or 140, something like that, between the state reps and state Senate. And I think in our last session, all but 10 of those took money from DTE. So when these same state lawmakers are then supposed to be passing laws about regulating what these utilities are doing, these monopoly companies are doing, they are still, you know, receiving money from that same monopoly. We call this pay to play politics. And that whole scheme just really sets up this unequal and ripe for corruption system that leaves donors as the main voice to politicians instead of the voters, right? It takes power away from voters when the companies and corporations that are supposed to be regulated by politicians are actually paying those politicians.
I mean, that is an unbelievable stat that you gave. I mean, yeah, it's like, what, 138 out of 148 state representatives and state senators in Lansing got some kind of contribution from DTE. That's amazing. It really is amazing. And it reminded me of last year when progressive state representative Betsy Cafia up in Traverse City, she publicly denounced, I mean, she went on her social media and denounced how corporate-backed bills were receiving the utmost attention in the lame duck session, like, you know, those bills granting major tax breaks to big tech to build data centers here in the state. And I think Representative Cafia wrote something to the effect like red team or blue team, big corporations run the state of Michigan. And on top of that, Melinda, when I worked in Saginaw Radio about a decade ago, there was a pretty big name Republican. His name was Gary Glenn from Midland, and I believe he passed away a couple of years ago. And while I disagree with him vehemently on so many issues and stances that he took, he did use his position to battle the utility monopolies that you just mentioned while he was in the state house. And when he ran for the state Senate, he lost in the Republican primary. And afterwards, he blamed, and I think I remember him using the term utility bosses. And he said that, you know, that they used ratepayer dollars on dark money front groups to influence that election. So it seems to me, as I'm rambling a bit here, but it seems to me that this issue is bringing, is an issue that brings left and right together where, hey, we can't really agree on anything nowadays. And it also, more importantly, is bringing independents, I think, together on this issue, too. And I assume that's what scares the opponents of this proposal so much.
Yeah. So, you know, Voters Not Politicians is a nonpartisan organization, right? We focus on good government reforms that don't help one political party or another. They help voters across political spectrums. When you're looking at anti-corruption legislation, like anti-corruption legislation that is going to impact all politicians, that helps all voters, regardless of where they stand policy-wise on this political spectrum that we've made up called left and right. When we're looking at like money out of politics, as an example, we have a system that pays off politicians of both political parties, and voters are the ones who lose out. So that is really why BNP as a nonpartisan organization is a part of this coalition. And it's also why we see voters across the political spectrum have a lot of interest in this policy. And we get a lot of support for this policy. When we were initially doing polling around the policies of MMOP, what we saw was something like 80 plus percent of voters, like across the spectrum of Michigan voters, said they would support this. And even more than that, a lot of folks were surprised when we said, it's like, you know, do you think we should ban regulated utilities from paying off the politicians that are supposed to regulate them? They're like, don't we already do that? Isn't that already illegal? And we're like, no. We said, do you think state contractors should be able to, like people getting $250,000 in state contracts should be able to donate directly to political campaigns and donate directly to the people who are going to be giving them those state contracts? People are like, no, isn't that already illegal? And the answer is it is illegal in 15 other states, not in Michigan.
So Michigan would become the 16th state then?
Yeah, this is low-key one of my favorite little fun facts to trot out as I'm out gathering signatures for this petition. When folks are like, ah, would that really work? I say, this is already state law in states including Connecticut, Hawaii, the very liberal bastion of Georgia. Like everyone agrees that we should get money out of politics and that this kind of pay-to-play system is ripe for corruption. It is a clear conflict of interest. So folks across the political spectrum are behind this policy, and folks really do agree, at least regular everyday voters really do agree that this is common sense reform policy.
Right. Because, you know, I mean, this proposal really does seem like an issue the voters here in the state should have the power to decide, because, as you know, we're just discussing here in these first few minutes, there have been bills that have, you know, sort of tinkered around this idea that this proposal is trying to do, but it never passes, Lansing. I mean, there's simply zero way that politicians, and let's face it, like you said too, on both sides of the aisle, this isn't trying to say, oh, both sides are bad or whatever, but on this issue, both sides of the political aisle, like we just pointed out, receive a lot of money from these political action committees, from these corporations. So this would never really pass. And I think that this is an issue that the public, which isn't bought by these powerful corporations, that they should have the ultimate and final say in this.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, actually, this session earlier this year, we reintroduced this package as legislation with bipartisan champions. So State Senator Jim DeSana, who is from, I want to say, like, Monroe County, and I'm going to feel so bad if I'm wrong.
Yeah, no, you're right. You're right. You're right. That is Monroe County. Yep.
I'm terrible at geography. I will fully admit that. As well as, I want to say Wagella, but I don't want to be wrong.
Okay. That's who I thought. That's who I thought too.
It was either Wagella or McKinney. It was bipartisan legislation that was introduced this year, and it did not move. You know, that's right now with our divided legislature. Last session, we had the Democratic trifecta. So Democrats controlled both the House and Senate. And again, when we introduced the bills, they didn't move. So it's very clear that we are not going to get any kind of good transparency regulatory reform that will cut the power of these big corporate donors unless the actual people are responsible for putting it on the ballot and passing this legislation. This simply is not going to move through politicians, because our political system, it relies very heavily on money. You know, this is, every single politician is incentivized to keep the system because it means they get the funding that they need to run a campaign, which in their defense, I guess, is expensive. It does cost money to run a political campaign. So the only way that we're going to undercut that is if the people do it themselves.
And Melinda, I just want to let you know, I believe you are correct on who was sponsoring that bill, or at least championing that bill. You did have State Representative Donovan McKinney of Detroit and Dylan Wagella of Garden City, along with Republican Jim DeSana. So I just wanted to make sure that you knew you had it right there. That I think
Yay.
You got that. Yeah. Also, you know, while I was thinking about it too, when you brought up Dylan Wagella's name, if I'm not mistaken, I think he got blocked from sending a letter to his constituents that was critical of DTE's influence in Lansing. If my memory serves me correct, did that happen? Can you remember?
I am not going to be able to remember.
Okay. No problem.
But we do know, it was former representative, I believe she was, Rachel Hood, recently was interviewed and went on the record in a piece for The Guardian, where she talked a lot about the outstanding, really, influence that DTE and consumers, as supposedly regulated monopoly utilities, have in Lansing politics. And she talked about how there's so much legislation that almost requires the sign off of these big corporate donors before it can pass through the House and Senate, which is obviously not how our democracy is supposed to function, right? Mm-hmm. Our elected officials are there to represent us as the voters, not just their donors. You know, as we say here at MMOP, it's our democracy should not be for sale, which is one of the reasons why not just passing this policy, but getting the signatures and putting this on the ballot is so important. I have to put that in sequential order, because this will not pass on the ballot if we don't get it to the ballot. Right. And in order to get it to the ballot, the first thing we have to do is get thousands of people out gathering signatures, talking to their friends and family and coworker and like book club members and whoever else they interact with on a regular basis, their churches, everyone they know, to get signatures and get it on the ballot.
And that's where we are right now, is in the signature phase of this whole process, correct?
Yes. Yeah. You know, some folks find it their favorite part of the whole process. Some folks like me are like, this is so anxiety producing. You know, voters, not politicians. This is kind of the thing that we do. It's direct democracy. It's gathering signatures and getting things on the ballot. And I will say, Money Out of Politics is the third ballot initiative that Voters, Not Politicians has worked on. And all of our volunteers, our staff, everyone who is gathering signatures is saying, these are the easiest signatures to get. You go out with a clipboard that says, get money out of politics, and people are like, say less, hand it over. I'm good. I'm for it. We're here, which is great. it's great that people are excited about the policy and it's great that people are signing, but there's only so many, you know, Melindas who can go to the one farmer's market near my house, right? We need more people out gathering signatures. That's really the hard part. It's really easy for folks to say, I support that and I would vote for it next year. But it takes more than just showing up every other year and voting to really make a big difference. We need people like on the ground saying, I will also collect signatures. You know, everyone doesn't have to collect 1,000, but if everyone could collect 20 and anybody can collect 20 signatures, then we'd be well on our way. And this would be, this policy would basically be in law by the end of 2026.
We'll talk about how people can help out with the effort here in just a moment. But before we move on, current Michigan law, I believe, says that politicians can receive corporate contributions just as long as the money doesn't come from ratepayers, like, you know, for DTE or Consumers Energy, for example. But these companies, they have found a way to get around that pesky problem by simply creating what are called, I guess, employee political action committees. Is that correct, Melinda?
Yeah. So what technically happens is that these companies will have, like you said, their corporate PACs, their employee PACs. And so it is, as they would say, not ratepayer dollars that are funding these campaigns, but it's money from their employees that are going to the corporate PACs, to which any logical person would then follow up with, how are your employees getting paid? Where do you think that money is coming from? So while they have definitely found a legal workaround, you know, they are not, as we say, no one is breaking the law here right now. What they are doing is corrupt, but it is not illegal. The right problem is that it's not illegal, and everyone agrees that should be illegal.
Just a few more questions here, Melinda. We've mentioned the Taking Back Our Power Coalition. Can you tell us more about this coalition and which groups are a part of it?
Yeah, absolutely. So the Michiganders for Money Out of Politics Coalition, which, you know, basically is what evolved from the Taking Back Our Power Coalition. One was on the legislative side. Now we're on this ballot initiative side. It is in of itself, it is nonpartisan, but it includes a lot of different groups of people who focus on different issues. So, of course, we have Voters Not Politicians. We are pro-democracy, right? That is our lane. That is our focus. And we support this policy because it's good for democracy. But we also have organizations like Clean Water Action, Climate Cabinet, Detroit Action, Hip Hop Caucus Action Fund, the Michigan League for Conservation Voters, Michigan United Action, Moses Action, and all those organizations, we're all really coming together as nonpartisan, pro-democracy and like good government reformers to say, hey, we know that there is a lot of policy that gets blocked or changed for the betterment of corporate donors, and it shouldn't be that way. And so like this also impacts folks who care a lot about environmental issues, folks who care a lot about healthcare costs and affordability issues. It impacts every aspect of our lives when corporations are the main voices that politicians listen to instead of voters.
Right. And it just appears like this is an issue, again, that is bringing left to right and independents all together, because I think they feel like they don't have a voice over corporate power and corporate greed and government greed that we see exhibited time after time after time in Lansing. You brought up the signature phase of this whole process. Melinda, when exactly do these signatures have to be turned into the state?
So I always sigh before I answer that question, because there's a couple of ways to answer it. The technical thing is that I believe May something is the official deadline.
Yeah.
Okay. But obviously, we're not trying to wait till the last minute, of course. Our goal is to get over 356,958 valid signatures, preferably by the end of February. I could go into the weeds a little bit about like why there's some squishiness in that deadline number. But like I said, we're not trying to wait till last minute. We want to get these signatures right now so that we have more time to talk to people about the policy itself and why they want to vote yes on it before the November election. And like I mentioned, so what that requires is thousands of regular everyday people going out and getting 10, 20, 30 signatures apiece. And then we're there and we're good and we're done and we're golden.
If people would like to learn more about the Mop Up Michigan proposal, and then, like you said, even volunteer their time to really help collect signatures, that way you don't have to, you know, maybe you have to wait to that May deadline, so that way you can get it in there as early as possible. Where can they go?
They can go to mopupmichigan.com Michiganders4Money.org. And there's a very easy banner right at the top that says volunteer and get involved. It's also where you're going to find different signing events where you can go and find the petition and sign it. And then when you go find the petition to sign it, I would encourage you to pick up a clipboard and just a couple sheets of petitions. Like I said, not everyone can get 1,000. We have some volunteers who are already over the 1,000 signature mark, and I am forever impressed and in awe of their efforts. I personally am usually around the 50 signature mark. So even if you're not ready to go out and get 1,000 signatures, you can do your part by getting 10, 20, 30 signatures, and that will get us to our goal. And then this policy can actually get passed. But if everyone just says, I'll vote for it later, then we're not going to get there.
That's right. And finally, Melinda, if you don't mind me asking this question, since you are a part of Voters, Not Politicians, I viewed that movement, which helped end the backroom political party gerrymandering in our state here, I viewed that as really one of the first real people-powered steps to fixing our corporate and government-backed cronyism that's engulfed Lansing for years and years. And I always viewed it as a way that it gave the people the power to play a role in their state politics, which is something they probably never felt like they could really ever do. Should we be prepared, Melinda, to see more people-powered changes such as the Mop Up Michigan initiative pop up throughout the United States?
I would say so. You know, VNP started in the wake of the 2016 election originally and did a lot of organizing in 2017 to finally pass in 2018, right? You know, that 2017 organizing was a big volunteer movement, and that ended partisan gerrymandering here in Michigan. So we had that in 2017, 2018. Then we had in 2022, we had Promote the Vote 2022, which expanded ballot access, and that involved a huge volunteer effort. Also in 2022, we had another ballot initiative for reproductive freedom, which was, again, direct democracy. Here in Michigan, we've had petitions on most general statewide election ballots for like almost consistently the last couple of years. And we see that same, you know, direct democracy happening across the country. We've seen Ohio has tried a couple of times now to really reform their redistricting process via direct democracy. I know we are seeing, I think Missouri right now is like trying to collect signatures to block a partisan redistricting effort. I mean, I've been hearing stories in states that you don't necessarily think of as big petition states. They sort of seem either super, super red or super, super blue, but you still see everyday voters coming together in usually a nonpartisan way for issues that really, really matter to them, which I think is super cool to see from an organizing perspective. And I think it's also really inspiring to see how many folks really do believe, like, we don't have to wait for politicians to fix something for us, because frankly, I think we all see politicians are not going to fix things for us. We really do need to stand up and start taking action to fix things ourselves. And I think Voters Not Politicians has absolutely been a part of that movement. I will take a bit of a victory lap for us and say I think we've been a huge driver of the movement, especially here in Michigan. But I absolutely see that continuing to grow and take hold over the rest of the country as well.
As do I. Melinda Billingsley of Voters Not Politicians, which is part of the coalition backing the Michiganders for Money Out of Politics ballot initiative. Thank you so much, Melinda, for your time here this week. It was great getting to talk with you. And I'd like to check in with you again next year once this proposal gets the go-ahead on the ballot. Thanks again.
Absolutely. Thanks for talking with me.
This isn't a conservative podcast. We actually believe in freedom here. And we don't lose sleep over solar panels either. It's Left of Lansing with Pat Johnston. Don't forget, we're on YouTube now. Subscribe to us on YouTube or wherever else you get your podcasts. Tell Pat what you think of the show by contacting him at leftoflansing@gmail.com. Now, let's get back to the show with Pat Johnston.
A special thanks to Melinda Billingsley for talking more about the Mop Up Michigan ballot proposal with us. I'll provide links to the Mop Up Michigan site so that way you can learn more and also get involved with the effort. And please share the link with friends and family to help them get better informed about this ballot proposal and to help them understand that we Michiganders can have a voice against powerful corporate interests right here in the state. Time now for the Left of Lansing Last Call. I wanted to leave this week with a little bit of good news for a change, because I want to share some information about this initiative that we've covered here on the show. And to nobody's surprise, this initiative is working. WKAR in Lansing reports this week how the RX Kids program in Flint, which provides expecting mothers with $1,500 mid-pregnancy and then $500 per month for the baby's 6 through 12 months of life, has dramatically decreased maltreatment allegations involving children. Listen to this from WKAR. Before RX Kids, the maltreatment rate in Flint was over double the statewide rate, 21.7% in Flint versus 10% for the state, said William Schneider, who's a researcher at the University of Illinois. But he says after RX Kids, the disparity between Flint and the state narrowed by 50% within the first year of the program. Talk about immediate success. Now, this program is a public-private partnership, but with its undeniable success, you'd think that it would continue to see some ramped-up spending from Lansing. Even more, it's a pro-life effort that you believe many MAGA Republicans would probably support, right? This program is expanding to other areas across the state, with some in urban areas and some in rural areas. And what we're learning now is that this gives everyone the solid evidence they were looking for, that providing a basic income for working-class Americans works. Dr. Mona Hanna, RX Kids Director and Associate Dean of Public Health at Michigan State University, told WKAR that RX Kids is demonstrating that direct cash support during pregnancy and infancy isn't just a financial lifeline, it's a powerful public health intervention that protects our youngest children. Yes, it does. News broke last month how in Wayne County, cities and towns like River Rouge, Inkster, Highland Park, Hamtramck, Melvindale, and Dearborn will now take part in the RX Kids program, as new and expecting mothers can now apply. The program is also expanding to northern counties like Roscommon and Gladwin counties. And again, the best part about RX Kids, it's not a means-tested program, unlike, say, those draconian work requirements to receive basic health care like Medicaid. Now look, I don't know about you, but I think the evidence shows that a daily stipend like this to help working class families is a more effective way to help communities across the state than, say, shelling out billions of dollars in corporate welfare. I mean, that's the way it looks to me. Let's make something like RX Kids a statewide effort.
You're listening to the Left of Lansing podcast. The music you're hearing is by Wander Beats. To hear the latest project, check out Space Leopard on your favorite streaming site. Now back to our favorite progressive voice in Michigan, it's Pat Johnston.
Well, that's going to do it for this edition of the Left of Lansing. Let me quickly report on a poll conducted by Public Policy Polling in conjunction with our friends from Progress Michigan that shows a majority of Michiganders opposing more data centers here in the state. Some 49% responded by saying they somewhat or they strongly oppose more data centers, compared to 30% who say they support them. And then when respondents learned how data centers lead to higher electricity costs and water shortages, 59% opposed future data centers. Again, it seems to me that being on the other side of big tech and their destructive data centers might be a smart political move. Maybe. Remember, you can email me, leftoflansing@gmail.com, and check out some of my videos on the YouTube. Finally, when this is released, the Detroit Lions will face the Dallas Cowboys in a few hours in what will most likely be the biggest game of the year for the ailing Lions. But no matter what, they are still more interesting to watch and to follow than the Lions from 5 years ago. There's no doubt about that. And even if they miss the playoffs this year, they'll still have a lot of good players returning, along with some better draft picks next spring. Hey, look, I'm trying to be optimistic, although I guess I'm already sounding somewhat pessimistic. Until next week, go Lions, and remember, take the battle to them. Thank you, Michigan!
The Left of Lansing podcast was produced by Pat Johnston, written by Pat Johnston, researched by Pat Johnston, edited by Pat Johnston, and hosted by, yes, Pat Johnston. Technical assistance by Dr. Heather. And thanks to our good friend Kirsten for the awesome podcast logo. Remember to visit leftoflansing.com for more news and information. Thanks again for listening to the Left of Lansing podcast.